We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Hello, welcome to Redemption Church. My name is Chris Fluitt. Greetings to all our online watchers and listeners. We love you guys. If you're ever near Plano, Texas, I expect y'all to come now see us, y'all. Down here, y'all, and stuff. Y'all come see us, in other words. Yeah. I'm excited to preach to you today. I really want you to use your Bibles today. You got your Bibles today? People online, you get your Bibles out. If you're online, you could just go to Google and just look up what I'm about to tell you. I want you to turn with me to Joel chapter 2. If you're in this place, I really want you to get out your digital Bible. You could use out your smartphone, or you can use one of those actual things with pages in it. They call books. Either way, I think it's valuable to turn to Scripture yourself and not to just depend on the screens to do it. I really want you to do that today. So we're turning to Joel chapter 2. While you're turning and opening up your Bible app, I want to thank you for all the great questions we received during our last series to our anonymous text line. It was the search engine series, and y'all texted in some just doozy questions that I needed. Those questions did me a lot of good to see. They stretched me. I think we answered all the questions presented. I just want to thank you for those questions. I also want to encourage you that anonymous text line is still open. It is open all the time. You ever have a question, I expect you to text it in. It is anonymous. It is 214-856-0550. You do not need to wait for the next time that sermon series comes around to text your pastor, all right? And your pastoral team will do their best to answer you, all right? Is that good? All right, we're at Joel chapter 2. We're at verse 28. Say yeah when you're there. Somebody say yeah. Yeah, well, that side had it. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and verse 29. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. In those days. The prophet of God spoke a radical prophecy. Is this a radical prophecy? Oh, you bet it is. Somebody say, this is radical. This is radical when he promises and prophesies that the Spirit of God will be poured out. Have you ever been in a kitchen when your little kid pours out the water all over the floor? And you're like, what are you doing? Are they their elbow is whatever it is, if there is a drink anywhere, one of my kids is going to knock it over, and it just pours out, and it goes where? It goes to a nice confined space. No, it just goes everywhere. I want you to tell you that the Lord spoke to the prophet, and he said that God's Holy Spirit is going to be poured out. It is going to go everywhere. All right, you with me? Up to this point, the Spirit remained behind a veil. When we've studied the temple, there is a veil. It's the most holy, holy, holy place. And behind there is the Ark of the Covenant. It's behind a veil. The Spirit of God was behind a veil. It was not to be experienced, but it was to be feared. Don't you dare go back there. The Spirit of God is back there, and it will strike you dead. Does it say it? Oh, yes, absolutely. It's very serious. This is radical because it says it's no longer going to be behind a veil. It's going to be poured out. It's radical because the Spirit of God was only to be experienced by one man called the high priest, and he was only going to experience that Spirit of God one day a year, the Day of Atonement. But now it's going to be poured out for how long? Always, forever, it will be poured out. And this is radical because not just a man is going to experience this Spirit of God, but women also. My goodness, that was very radical for the ancient world. Not just a Jew, but all flesh, it says, all people. Not just select religious people, but it said on servants and on handmaidens. And it said that they will prophesy. Don't you understand that the prophet Joel is a prophet? And he's saying one day, all of you are going to be doing this. Don't you understand that he knew this was radical? Somebody say, this is radical. It absolutely is. In Joel 2, God gave us a radical promise through the voice of the prophet Joel. I want to tell you that a radical promise requires radical fulfillment. Does this make sense to you? A radical promise requires radical fulfillment. I know this so well as a dad, because you cannot promise your kids something this cool and then give them something this cool. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't say, hey guys, we're going to go have pizza and ice cream, and then go, hey kids, I got you a slushie and a corn dog from 7-Eleven. It does not work. If you give a promise that's radical, you've got to have a radical fulfillment of that promise, or you as a dad are totally called into question. And God is not a liar, is he? So if he gives a radical promise, you can sure bet that there will be a radical fulfillment. Are you with me? God always fulfills his promise, and here is the radical fulfillment. Where am I going? What chapter of the Bible am I going for the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, verse 28? Acts chapter dos. Acts chapter 2. Somebody say Acts 2. Why don't you go in your smartphone or your Bible and you go over to Acts chapter 2. We're going to be reading. Just open up the very beginning of this chapter. We're going to be reading it together. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. I hope you catch up with me. I'm starting at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Is this radical? Is this life-changing? Is this unlike anything that had happened previously? The Spirit of God had never been received like it had been received right here at this moment. Yes, it is radical, and it is the radical fulfillment of what the prophet Joel said in Joel 2. Reading on, verse 5. And now there were saying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven, when they heard this sound. Do you think that they were making some noise? Some people are like, no, church, like you, quiet as a church mouse. Have you ever heard that saying, quiet as a church? Or even quiet as a church. Have you ever heard that saying? Oh, it's quiet as a church there. The Book of Acts church was not known for being quiet. They were known for a lot of things, but they were known for being heard. They were heard. They heard the sound. A crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Let's move down to verse 12. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, these men, these people that had gathered, they asked, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. Verse 14, then Peter stood up with the 11. The 11 who? The 11 apostles. The disciples of Jesus had stood up with them. He raised his voice and addressed the crowd. He said, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. Verse 15, these people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Verse 16, no, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. He is quoting who? He's quoting the prophet Joel. Peter stood in the middle of this radical spirit outpouring, and he declares with three words, this is that. Can you say those three words with me? This is that. People came with questions. People came with bewilderment. And some people came with jokes and mocking. Is that any different today? Some people will mock the move of God. Some people will just be bewildered and wild-eyed and maybe a little scared. And some people will just come with questions. We need to be ready for all three of them. Here are the three words that he used to face those three kinds of people. He said, "This is that." He told the crowd that had gathered, "This radical thing you're experiencing today is the fulfillment of that radical promise from the prophet Joel. A radical promise that is being radically fulfilled by the Holy Spirit." Can I tell you, the indwelling of the Spirit, where the Spirit is living inside of you, this is that. The fire of the Spirit, this is that. And the passion and the boldness and the bravery to stand up against a crowd of people that say whatever they were going to say about you. You know what that is? This is that. And people being drawn from all over and a crowd gathering. This is that. Can you help me today? The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ being preached to people. This is that. The Great Commission being fulfilled. This is that. It's not something new. It's not something brand new. It's something that's been promised for hundreds, for thousands of years. And you need to point at this that we experience and point back to that and say, this is the fulfillment of that. This radical happening in Acts 2 was the fulfillment of that radical prophecy in Joel chapter 2. People heard the message of Jesus Christ and they were pricked in their heart, the King James Version says. They were convicted in their heart. What were they convicted of? They were convicted of their sin. They were convicted of murdering the Messiah. They were convicted of not receiving the Jesus, the Son of God. The people repented, didn't they? They turned away from that sin. They were baptized and they were filled. Does this still happen? If it doesn't still happen, the promise of God is not true. It still happens, and it's still radical, and it's still powerful. That day, it says 3,000 souls were added to the church. Say it, 3,000 souls. Now somebody say, this is that. This church in Acts is that spoken by the prophet. There were miracles in that church, weren't there? There were amazing testimonies in that church. We don't even know most of them. We just know some of them. Do you understand that? We only know some of the miracles. They didn't write down every single one of them. There were impossible conversions. It was impossible for Saul on his way to Damascus to have a conversion experience. But guess what? This is that, and it did happen. There was powerful revelation that happened. Scales falling off of people's eyes, them understanding that he, Jesus Christ, is the Messiah and he's risen from the dead. That happened. The people were a growing, passionate church, and God added to their number daily. Somebody say daily. This is that. This church in Acts is that spoken by the prophet. And that church, it stretched beyond the street they were on. It stretched beyond the city they were on. It stretched past the state, the nation that they were in. And it has stretched all the way till it is right now in your face in Plano, Texas. When you look at this radical church throughout the book of Acts, you see that radical promise fulfilled. Can I tell you, the radical promise didn't stop after day one. God didn't say, well, we did good job, guys. Let's shut it all down. I'm not going to do this anymore. No, when you look through the book of Acts, that radical promise continues. There's never a moment where somebody says, well, that was the last miracle. Well, that was the last impossible conversion. Well, that was the last revelation. In fact, at you look at the book of Acts, you look at the last word of the last chapter, and that word is not the end. That word is not amen. You look at all the other New Testament chapters, every New Testament book that you have, it ends with the words amen, meaning it's over. Now you think about it. But the book of Acts, it has no ending because we are still the book of Acts church, the God's church, the book of Acts, that radical promise-fulfilling church is still alive today. Do you believe that? If you believe that, you shouldn't yawn through a church service. If you believe that, you ought to have enough faith to share your testimony. If you believe that, you ought to get a hold of something when you're worshiping God. If you believe that, don't you think we ought to look a little bit more like that? The people in this radical church didn't always have it easy. They sacrificed. Can you say sacrificed? They would tell you today that this, remember this is that? They would say, this is worth it. You look at somebody, say, this is worth it. People continued to gather daily. 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 They were gathering daily. It sounds like they couldn't get enough of it. Glenn, they couldn't get enough of it. They opened the Bible, they opened the Word of God, and they shared together daily. They ate together, they got together. They didn't wait for the church to create, roll out a new program. Okay, we'll be a part of the program. No, they were just together all the time. No one had to tell them, hey guys, you know, we need to hang out. No, it was so natural to them. This radical conversion brought them all together. They built their lives around this. They didn't compartmentalize it to a few hours a week. It took over their entire life, and they gladly let that happen. They would move a soccer practice for the move of God. They would move a date night for a work of God. They would shut off whatever entertainment was there, whatever other thing that needed to be done to go be in the presence of the Lord. They sacrifice. People were willing to do anything for each other. You read Acts chapter 2. It tells you that they were willing to do anything for each other. People actually sold property to give to others in need. Can you imagine such a thing? That means more than you think you know. But even today, if you own property, that's like something you give in inheritance, y'all. That is a huge deal. No, they sold property to give it to people who were in need. Oh, they must have been rich millionaires. Some of them might have been rich, but it doesn't say that, and that's not the point of it at all. They were willing to sacrifice what they had to give to their brothers and sisters in need. That is so radical. They fed widows. They fed hungry people. They fed anybody who had need. They actually stretched beyond their own prejudices and helped people of different nationalities and different backgrounds. They did that. People met in each other's homes. And they shared food, and they shared fellowship. And you know what they called that? They called that the church. The church was not a central location that they rented or they bought, and they came to there, and now we're at church. No, they were the church. They were walking through the streets, and that's where the church was. And they gathered at someone's home, and that's where the church was. And things got really rough, and they were actually running for their life, but that's where the church was. And they would hide in caves, but that's where the church was. And they hid in vineyards, and they ran for their lives. They even worshiped God in jail cells, but that is where the church was. They were radical, and they couldn't be stopped. People bravely shared their testimony with their friends and family. You know what the ichthys is? It's that little fish symbol. That fish symbol was made for people to share their faith, to let others know that they were Christians without getting arrested. They would draw that in the sand, and if anybody noticed, they would approach them, and then they could fellowship with them, and they were risking everything just to do that. But they said, this is worth it. People were willing to carry the message outside of their boundaries into brand new communities. People carried the gospel to people of different nationalities and skin colors. They carried it past their comfort. They carried the gospel past their prejudice. People felt the call of God and they left their homes to spread the gospel. As they're leaving their homes to spread the gospel, they meet a brand new person who hears this message for the first time and says, "I've got a home. Why don't you come?" And the church then was in their home. And newsflash, some of those people that they reached for the first time were women. So if you are on the internet and you have a problem with women in the ministry, you are way too late, y'all. My goodness. People felt the call of God and left their homes to spread that gospel. They would say to us today, "This is worth it." You say those words with me. Do you believe it? This is worth it. The church kept giving. The church kept going. The church kept growing. People got angry at this church. People like Peter and John were beaten for speaking about Jesus. People like Paul and Silas were imprisoned because of the gospel. People like Stephen and James gave their lives. They were painfully murdered for the cause of Jesus Christ. With big stones, they killed a young man named Stephen. All he was doing was telling them that Jesus is the Messiah and the truth. They killed James, the brother of John. They beheaded him in a jail cell. Why? Because he preached the gospel. Both of them, if they were able to stand here today, they would tell you, "Do not waste a moment crying for us. You get out there and you fulfill the Great Commission because it's worth giving your life for." Hallelujah. This did not come cheap. This thing prophesied by Joel. This thing born in Acts chapter 2. It did not come cheaply. It was freely given by the Lord, but it cost people everything. Yet they would stand here today and tell you, "Don't you dare give up, because it's worth it all." This is that. Peter stood in that radical spirit outpouring and declared that. He said, "This is that. But I've come today to deliver the message the Lord gave me so clearly. And here it is." The Apostle Peter would stand in the church today. He would stand in churches all over this metroplex, all over the world. He would even stand in this church. He would stand in people's homes. He would stand wherever you hang out. And he would declare these words: "This is not that." Can you say those words with me? "This is not that." He would stand in a church that declares God no longer moves by his spirit. He would stand in that cessationist church and declare, "This is not that." He would stand in a church that would be uncomfortable with the move of God, that would seek to shut it down and make sure it never happened, and he would say, "This is not that." He would stand in a church that no longer calls sin a sin, a church that no longer preaches about repentance. He would stand in that church and he would say, "This is not that." He would go to a church that has replaced a true conversion, a true Christian conversion, with an unbiblical repeat after me prayer. I think he would be bold and he'd stand up right in the middle of it and he would say, "This is not that spoken by the prophet Joel." He would go to the church that actually says from the pulpit that the commands of God and the Great Commission, you know, they really aren't that necessary. They are not that big of a deal. They say from their pulpit that you don't need. In fact, they will say from their pulpit, "There's no need for you to be baptized. There's no need for you to pray in this altar. There's no need for you to take another step towards God. But Peter the apostle would say in the middle of that church, what would he say? This is not that. He would show up at our churches that are more concerned with the comfort of visitors than with preaching them the life-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. He would go to the churches that no longer sing about the saving blood of Jesus Christ, churches that no longer challenge people to go further, that their services are so formulaic that they would never allow the Spirit to have its way. And he would declare, this is not that. Am I scaring you, church, or are you with me today? Will you be bold with me? People would go to a white church, a black church, a Spanish church, and an Asian church and say that the Spirit is poured out on all flesh. Guess what? If that's true, would we stop segregating the body of Christ by stupid things like skin color? If he's pouring it out on all flesh, why do we have a white church, a black church, a Spanish church, an Asian church? There is one church, the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh my gosh. If you can't get behind that, I don't know what your problem is. That is the truth. My goodness. He would take one look at that segregated body of Christ and he would say, this is not that. He would look at our well-hidden prejudices. Oh, and we can hide them really good. He would look at those well-hidden prejudices and say, that right there, that is not that Holy Spirit outpouring. That is not going to work. He would go to the 49% of Christians who claim faith yet rarely attend a church service. Do you realize? Do everybody ever hear of an Easter or a Christmas Christian? You heard of that? I heard about that growing up. It was a small percentage of the church. Guess what? That is now 49% of the professing Christians in the United States are Christmas and Easter Christians. 49% of Christians darken the church doors less than 5 times a year. There's 365 days in this year. They come to church, 5 of them. Some stats suggest that they attend less than 3 services a year. What would he say? This is not that. Well, let's talk about the Christians who regularly attend a ministry gathering. That's 23%. And you know what they call regular attendance of a ministry gathering? If you make 3 out of 8. Talk about a low bar that we aren't even getting over. He would look us in the eyes. That bolt, he looked at the mockers right in the eyes and he said, this is that. I would expect him to do nothing less than to look us in the eye and said, this is not that. He would come to our worship services that never enter into a deeper worship. And let me tell you, the church can have a talented worship team, but the worship team, I've seen them, that they would not recognize a move of God if it was right in front of them. And the congregation just stands there. I've been there. I've worked in mega churches where it's okay for them to just come in and just stand there with their arms to the side. And the church is okay with that. No one ever says that you should go further. No one ever says that maybe you should lift your hands or clap your hands. No, we've got low bar. We're just glad that they show up 3 times a year or 3 out of 8 services. But the Apostle Paul, he has much higher standards. The prophet Joel has much higher standards. Do you understand that the God of glory has much higher standards? He would look us in the eye and say, this is not that. Redemption Church, what would he say to us today? What would he say about our worship? What would he say about the message we preach? What would he say if he saw how we give and how we serve? Would he say, this is that? Or would he say, this is not that? What would he stand? What would he say as he stood in our altar? Where in this very altar, people have been invited to come experience the presence of God, to respond to the Word of God, and actually invited to come receive prayer. I say this often. If you need a miracle in your life, you need to come in the first 2 feet. Raise your hand if you've ever heard me say it. I want to tell you, I've said that while people whose lives are falling apart, they do this number. Hello, ministry on the internet. How are you? This is what I've seen happen in this church. Somebody gets up because that's what we're supposed to do. And they come here and they are glued to this spot. It's like that will not come closer to that because, oh, heaven forbid, my marriage is falling apart. Heaven forbid, I've got a drug addiction. Heaven forbid, I've got a secret sin that I'm worried about. Heaven forbid, I'm completely backslidden and haven't felt God in so long. Heaven forbid, I've got questions on my faith that are falling apart. But heaven forbid, I actually go up there and receive the very presence of God. Instead, I'm going to stand here. I'm going to cross my arms, and I'm going to wait for the moment to pass. What are you doing? Do you understand how foolish that is? Do you understand that this is not that spoken by the prophet Joel? That this is nowhere near what God wants to do in your life? You don't come up here because Pastor did a good job. I want him to feel good about himself, so I'll come up here. No, you come up here because the only answer for the mess in your life is the Spirit of God. That's why you come up here. Don't you dare go another service without coming up here. Don't you dare do it. My gosh, you know, I get asked this sometimes. How did you become a pastor? Gosh, I really don't know the answer for that. Right, Jeff? I mean, we're both surprised, right, buddy? We're both surprised. I'll tell you what, how this is the best answer I've got. I grew up in a church that had an altar, and I just kept going to that altar. And I came here through faith problems. I came here through depression problems. I came here through relationship problems. I came up here when the people I loved the most were mean to me. I came up here just kept coming up here, and here I am. I'm still here, and I'm a pastor now. But the real thing is not that I'm a pastor. The real thing is that I'm still here. And if you will keep coming here, there's no telling what the Lord will do in your life. There's radical promise here, and there's radical fulfillment here. Why on earth? Oh, could we think for a second? Now, who is it that might be out there that would want to keep you from coming into what God has for you? Oh, who could that be? Could it be? I don't even want to say his name. That no good, sly old fox. In this altar today, what is he going to say about us? I want to tell you, church, that we don't get off easy because we believe the right thing. That's what denominationalism does. You know, yeah, I know we're not perfect. I can hear us saying it. Oh, I know we're not perfect, but thank goodness we're not like, I'll name one, Church of Christ. Thank goodness we're not like them. Now, those people. Thank goodness we're not like Baptists, you know, those people, or those Pentecostals, at least we're not like that. Can I tell you what? That is a bunch of just junk right there. And that is keeping you from ever becoming what God wants you to be. because you're just patting yourself on the back that you somehow think you're better than someone else. My gosh, where's your hunger? That's what's going to change everything. Where's the hunger for the things of God? Why are you comparing yourself to someone else? Why aren't you running to the very presence of God? I want to tell you, you don't get off easy because you believe the right thing. It is not enough to simply believe the gospel. It is not enough to amen it. You must have the outpouring, the promised outpouring. You need to have it. I need to remind you that radical promise requires radical fulfillment. Do you feel like you personally are experiencing the radical outpouring of the Spirit? Do you feel like you're radical enough? Do you feel like you have enough of God? I dare you to even think that in your head. Yeah, I probably have enough of God. You just say that in your head and see the Lord convict you in your heart. I want to tell you that the promise of God is radical. Do you want the radical fulfillment? The lack of prayer in your life? This is not that. The hidden sin that you justify rather than repent of, this is not that. The Bible that gathers dust in your home. The unwillingness to give and to serve. This is not that. The unwillingness to share your testimony with your friends. Especially when you know your friends don't know your testimony about Jesus Christ. This is not that. Not taking your family to church or any other ministry gathering. This is not that. Are you experiencing the radical fulfillment of the radical promise? What would Peter say? I'm about to open up this altar. I pray that you're challenged. I pray that you're stirred. I pray that you're coming to a new decision. I have a final question. Here it is. Do you want this? Do you want this thing spoken by Joel, experienced in Acts chapter 2, still alive and available for you today? Do you want this? Do you really want the outpouring of the Spirit? Do you want it for yourself? Do you want it for your family? Do you want it for your friends? Do you want it for your church? Do you want it for your city? Do you really want to be free from all your sin? When you hear the stories of the heroes of Acts, do you want that? When you see the people of God that are moved on by the Spirit and used mightily, do you want that in your life? Do you long for that? Is it just a story, or is it something you're hungry for? Do you want the power of God? Do you want the calling of God? Do you want this? I want to tell you that Jesus died on the cross for you to have more than you are experiencing now. You listen to me. Jesus Christ, the reason he went to the cross was for you to have more than what you have right now. I don't mean for today to feel a beat down, because really it's a promise. In the last days, says the prophet Joel, God will pour his Spirit out on all flesh. That's the promise. It's available to you. It's for you. That radical promise is going to happen. It will be radically fulfilled. The question is, who will receive it? Will that be you today? Will that be you today? Can that be your friends? Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Could you just get excited today at the thought of your sons and your daughters receiving this promise, receiving this power? These altars are open right now. Come into this house. If you want special prayer, you better come into those first 2 feet. We're going to pray for you. We're going to believe God for you. We're going to ask the outpouring of the Spirit to come on your life, to come into your heart. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for everyone in this house, everyone listening, watching online. Father, let them all reach out to the Lord right now. Lord, let them reach up their hands to you and receive the outpouring of your Spirit, God. Lord, I want this that you promised me. I want this to happen in my heart. I want this to happen in my life, God. I want the Spirit of God. Father, I repent of all my sin. Lord, I repent of all my hidden sin, God. I turn away from it, God, and I turn towards you, God. I want you. I want you. God, I want to be used by you. Lord, I want the Spirit of God to indwell in me, and I want the Spirit of God to speak, Lord. I want to be able to sacrifice for you and to do anything for you. Your word, the work of God is worth it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's reach out to the Lord in this place. Surrender to the Lord in this place. Tell the Lord, I want the Spirit of God living in me. I want the outpouring of God to be in my life in the name of Jesus. Come on, church, let's reach out to him.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.